Take your Bibles. Yes, you can go down right now. Grandma's going to take you down. Don't complain. You'll get to go down. What do you got there, sweetheart? You got a napkin? Okay, go down with Grandma. She's going to take you down for...
She's making you disappear.
Making me disappear? Oh, you're going to need a very big sheet. That one might cover my hand, but it won't get the rest of me. Nice try. Sasha used to always say to me, Grandpa, go away. Go far away. I said, no. I said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Grandpa's going to be around for a bit. So, this morning, if you turn to Revelation chapter 19. Now, I know some of you, I know that many of you that listen and have been around with me for a while, do understand, and hopefully you comprehend the characteristics of God. Because if you understand His character, you'll understand how, what He likes. You ever notice when you go to somebody, and one thing with the Lord, you can't butter Him up. He can smell you out a mile away. So, but you got to come before Him, or you come to Him. You got to know what He likes and what He dislikes. Because you're dealing with a God who is very fair and very just. But you got to also understand He's a God that doesn't put up with things. He doesn't put up with our shenanigans. If He won't put up with the wicked, He will not put up with us, the children of God, because we are His children. He expects more of us. As a person said to me, he says, they should know better. He says, they've been growing up in the things of God. Doesn't mean anything other than they should be doing what God has called them to do. God expects better. Just like when a parent goes to a child, he says, I expect better of you. You know better. Especially when they're older. You ever notice that? You're older. And usually sometimes it's the older ones instigating the younger ones. But Revelation chapter 19, verse 15 goes this, like this. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he should treadeth down the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. You ever wondered if the Lord approves of things that are going on today? And people always wonder, you know, well, Jesus, you know, he's so kind, he's so wonderful, he's so nice, he's so good. Yes, he is. But also there's a side of him people don't want to know. There's a side of him when he does something. And they don't realize that what he says is sure. What he says, he does. What he's going to do will be done. His word is very powerful. And we sometimes forget that. The world figures that we're just going to go along and there is not a day of reckoning with the Lord. We as Christians have to understand if there's a day of reckoning with the world, with the Lord, there is a day of reckoning for the church with the Lord. If there wasn't, there would be nothing mentioned in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church. He says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See, we don't want to see the Jesus that comes up and does something. We are doing so many things to the things of Christ that it's very hard to figure out what is the truth anymore. And it is so. If a person's standing on there, there's about 300 people and they're all Christians telling them all different things. One says there's no rapture, you don't need this, one need this, you do that. And where does this all come from? And what are we doing? And I often wonder, are you doing whatever you please to justify yourself by saying, the Lord has to accept me the way I am? Many Christians do that. And they figure, well, Jesus is loving, he's forgiving. Yes, he is. But like all things, he says, I've had enough. You ever notice that when a parent, no matter how much a parent says, I will not discipline my child, I will not spank him. I've seen parents turn around and eventually have to haul off and spank their child because they had enough. Now, we don't know where the tolerance level is with the Lord. We know that the grace of God gets really pushed to the bounds and to the limits with us, the believer. The wicked, you don't have to worry about the Lord and his judgment with them. They are judged already. And the word says he who has sinned, if he does not have Christ as a Savior, will one day be judged by God and God himself, not through Jesus Christ. But we as the Christian, we have to understand, we as the believer, the epistles are written to us. And we got to pay attention to it. Are you dictating the terms in which you serve the Lord Jesus? And so many of us do that. We decide what we want, and we say, you have to agree to me. And we do not see the Jesus who will rule the world with a rod of iron. In other words, it don't move, my friend. It don't change, my friend. It stays like that, and if you don't like it, it's too bad. It's kind of like the fellow that says, my way or the highway. You see, we go to Jesus and we tell him, we want it this way, and he says, not so. It is like this. And we have to pay attention to it. If we don't pay attention to it, nothing is going to happen for us, because he cannot go beyond his word. You got to understand him. As you see a rod of iron stand there, and you know what a rod of iron is like, it doesn't bend, it doesn't move. And here you got the Lord, and his word stands so powerful and so sure, it says this is it and there's no changing it. You can't break it, and you can't add to it, and you can't subtract from it. We take the concept of the grace of God, and it's looked at as a license. And we push the Lord, and I often wonder, Lord, why are they not being punished? Why are they not this not happening to these people? Look how bad they're doing. And yet God seems to bless them. You ever hear yourself say, I'm serving the Lord really well and I'm doing everything he tells me and it seems like I get the short end of the stick? I felt that many times when I first started out. Lord, I'm following you and I'm serving you and I know I am. I know this is not some game with you, Lord. And here you seem like you're blessing all these people and you're not doing anything for me. God is not a respecter of persons. If God will honor and cause rain to come upon the wicked, he will also cause rain to come upon the righteous. And he will do. But you have to understand that he is fair and he is just in what he does. And you got to understand there's what he is doing right. Turn me to Galatians chapter 5. You see, everybody likes the sweet lady, the kind lady, the nice lady that says yes to you and everything, or the fellow that just happens to be so wonderful and good and gracious that, you know, I just really like so-and-so because they let me do anything I want. It's true. You go to the place and the boss says, well, what do you want to do today, Johnny? Well, anything you want. I'm going to go have a nap. Okay. I want you to pay me $40 an hour while I'm napping. Okay. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't you like to serve a God like that? You dictate to him everything you want. And he has to do it for you? Well, if it was a fairy tale, and I was telling you in imagination, I guarantee you people would be lining up to come to church to listen to me because this is good. Now, do not let that fool you. If I got to coerce you and lie to you and peddle to you a Jesus to which is not that Jesus in the Bible, I'm giving you an imagination, and the imagination doesn't help you, because you want to know something? Unless the word is adhered to, you don't get anything from the Lord, and you got to believe. The reason why I say that is a lot of people will come to places that allows them to do anything because they don't want to have what? Rules. You ever notice it's more easiest for us not to have rules? But we understand there are principles to which we must follow. We know we have to follow the laws of nature. We should be following, and yet we try to change the laws of nature because we don't like it. And this is where you have people in conflict with God, where you destroy children, you destroy everything around you, and then you start into every other kind of ill, foul, unclean sex thing, and you can just use your imagination to what we've come into. But the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another." In other words, you've been called to liberty. You're not going to hell. But you should not use that liberty as a license to go and do whatever you please, because God has said in his word, and he cannot break his word. But he also says, what you sow is what you will reap. He says also, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He also says, if you go and do something, you're going to have a recompense for that which you do, even though you are a saved believer. You will see him rule the world with a rod of iron. You also see he will rule his church according to his word. And he has laid perimeters to which we, the believer, are able to walk in. In other words, there's a lot of room in our Christianity to walk freely in Christ Jesus, where we don't have to be held into bondage. But the Bible says, use not your liberty for the occasion to the flesh. In other words, to do whatever you feel like doing. You are supposed to what? Be responsible. Just the same way as you are free. You are free to go do whatever you feel like doing today. You made a choice of coming to church or coming here, fellowshipping together and coming before the Lord. You could have went and done anything that you wanted to do today. And also, you could take your liberty and your freedom and go and destroy somebody. You could do anything you want that is put in your hands. But we as Christians think we can dictate the terms of how we serve him. And that's not the way it's to be. He lays it out in his word, and we must what? Get to that word and stay as close to that word as we possibly can. And this is where a lot of us have difficulty. I'm not just saying to you, I'm saying that to anybody has difficulty when they come to that word. There is where the battle is. They disagree. Why cannot I go live a sinful life and enjoy myself? I'm going to heaven. And then the Apostle Paul says, to whom you yield yourselves are your servants to obey. If you want us to go back and serve sin, and you know, you take the type in the shadow of Egypt. Children of Israel, they wanted to go back to Egypt after the Lord took them out. You like bondage? You like serving to all those who made you bow and do what they said, and then they just wipe their feet on you? I don't know. I just don't seem to kind of like that. I don't like dragging around a ball and chain. Carry a big pack on your shoulder, and a lot of you carrying things or carry your kids around, and how eventually it gets a little bit heavy. You like to walk around light. You don't like to have to carry all those excess things. But look at this in Isaiah chapter 4. What is acceptable as I walk as Christians? Say, well, what has that got to do? He will rule the world with a rod of iron. If he will rule the world with a rod of iron, do you not think that he is a very strong person? Do you not think he is a very strong Lord and Savior? In other words, when he says, he expects it to be done. What he says, this is the way it is. There is no negotiations with God. Just not, let's make a deal, Jesus. He says, this is how I give it to you. This is what you must follow. And I've made it very, very fair and just to you. How do I know? He's perfect. So if he gives us something perfect, everything in there is provided for and it's done right. Isaiah 4, look at verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Well, you know what bread pictures. We'll eat our own bread means that we'll eat our own word. In other words, we'll make up our own gospel. And we'll do our own things. But to take away a reproach, let us be called by thy name. Or we have those who are holier than God. Ever seen some people like that? They're so holy that you can't get near them. And they declare it. The church of today is in the frame of mind that has a real attitude. And they don't think that they have to behold to their Lord and Savior. They figure Jesus is just a pushover. That he's some kind of a wimp riding on a horse. He's not Lady Godiva. He's coming with a sharp two-edged sword that'll come out of his mouth. And those who will not adhere to him will be destroyed. Isaiah 65. Why do I say that? You have to see Jesus when he is like he is when he comes back. See, we don't want to see the side of, well, that's only for the wicked. Well, I'd be very quick to say, you better think twice about that. If you figure he's only going to deal the wicked that way. You think you can change the grace of God as you a believer? You think you can change faith? You think you can change those statutes and ordinances that God and the pillars of truth and the doctrines? You think you can change them? They stand sure. Just like you said, he shall rule with a rod of iron. They are pillars, and they are not to be played with and not to be altered nor be fooled with. You don't fool with the grace of God. You don't even dare try to by saying that Jesus will take it and not take it back, or he'll take it away and you can lose your salvation. You are playing a very, very dangerous little game. The word of God is for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us must believe. Each and every one of us must walk according to the same things. There is no partiality in Christ. All these churches and everybody going around and saying whatever they want to say, I'd be very careful. I'd be careful I was doing it. Why? Because one day there is going to be a judgment if it's not been passed on the church already. Just because you see a lot of people in a building does not mean there's a lot of people going to hell. Does that mean it's a good place to go? The casinos are full of people. It's true. They flock there like flies. You go to the concerts. You go to a lot of places. You see a lot of people just pouring into there. Disney World is not heaven. Some people might think it's heaven, but it isn't. Revelation 3. Oh no, Isaiah 65. I didn't read that one. I want you to see this. Now, you probably have heard me say this a time and here and time and there about certain things. But you'll find it's always the same things. Because the Lord, what? He wants his people to see him as he is. He is Lord. And he is King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is all powerful and mighty. He's the one that came through everything. And he stands there, and we are to say to him, I will tell you how I will serve you? I don't think so. You might be able to do it with me. Your children might be able to do it with you, but you're not going to be able to do it with him. You're playing with a different fellow. One who sits down there and says, this is the way it is, and he doesn't move for anybody. You're not going to tell him, I'll tell you. And Jesus is going, oh, okay. You ever seen when people do that? Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 65, verse 2 to 7, he says, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick, which remain among the graves, dead things, and lodge in the monuments, hanging on to the old things, which eat swine's flesh, spirits, broth and abominable things, that which they puke out, things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense, into their bosom. Your iniquities your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burnt incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. So you can see the Lord talking to the church, and he says, this is what is going to happen to you. I will spew you out of my mouth. He says, I know thy works. Have you turned me to Revelation 3? And I don't think we should take the statement lightly. He's talking to the church. You know, the body of Christ, to him, to which they call are called by his name. To the believer who sits on the fence posts, and we neither walk with God nor will run away from him. He says, I would rather you were hot or cold. If you turn totally away from me, he says, I can handle that. But you sit there and you play games with me all day long. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. I see when the kids sit down and are arguing with one another. Yes, I do. No, you won't. Yes, I do. No. And after a while, it gets very irritable. Can you imagine what we sound like in our Savior, and we're growing up and we're not little kids? I don't like the thought. Because you want to know something? We're not playing with a natural daddy. We're playing with a real Savior who doesn't play little games. I know some people come to me and say, you know, oh, Jesus, he just plays little games with me. I says, really? And what kind of games he plays with you? Tiddlywinks? Monopoly? I says, give your heart a shake. Jesus doesn't play little games. And neither does he sit down there and play little jokes with you. Hide your blessing in a corner somewhere and you got to go looking for it like some Easter egg bunny? Come on. But my goodness, that's how some people's minds are, because they can't accept their Savior like who he is. He shall rule the world with a rod of iron. He shall rule the nations. If he's going to rule it with a rod of iron, he says, you know what? This is the way it is. And that's it. Revelation 3 verse 15 to 17 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is what the state of the church is in. Is every believer? No, because there is always people, and there's always the few that will serve him and walk with him. There will always be the devout ones. Far many too many concept that Jesus is some pacifist and will not punish us for iniquities. When Nadab and Abihu withstood Moses in the way of the Lord, they died. We don't think that Jesus will have anything, will not do that to us. We figure we can just do whatever. I wonder about Ananias and Sapphira when they lied before the Lord. And Peter said, you're not lied unto me, you lied unto the Holy Ghost, and they dropped dead. I wonder if we drop dead for our lies, how fast we smarten up. Well, I know one thing, when you're dead, you're pretty much over, isn't it? But see, we don't want to see Jesus like that. When you come into a real true move of God, I guarantee you, you won't play games with him. I think we don't realize that. It's not some joke or some plaything with Jesus. Yeah, we can horse her on and we can kind of move on another, but let's get right down to serious facts with our Lord and our Savior. Leviticus 10, verse 1 to 3 says this, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. You can swing in there, please. Well, this is the Old Testament. Well, I'll show you a New Testament one too, just to keep everybody in the same line. Why? Well, the same God of the old is the same God of the new. He's I am the Lord, I changeth not. We figure because he's given out grace and he shows his love that somehow he's different than the Old Testament. Well, I see in the Old Testament he was very compassionate, very loving, very kind, and very forgiving. He forgave David, didn't kill him. Solomon. And so many others were given opportunities. You ever notice that the judgment was passed, and if they would just stay at certain places, they would stay at the refuge cities to which they were told to stay, that their lives would be spared? It's when they disobeyed that they died. It's the same thing. When we disobey God, we end up in trouble, and we do die. Our lives are cut short. There are Christians who will not believe God, who somehow think that they should just die of their cancers or die of their sickness because they're honoring God and somehow they're blessing God. All the martyrs died of cancer, I guess. You know? No. All the martyrs died is because what they stood for, people killed them. You want to be a martyr for Jesus, live for Jesus. I guarantee you, you'll have enough people ticked off at you, they'll want to kill you. That's what usually happens. It's when the truth is so strong to people, they hate you. The same thing is when creationists and evolutionists are sitting down and argument goes on, they hate. And you could see them when they begin, their teeth start to show. And it's not because they're smiling because they like you. It's because they love to sink their teeth into you and rip out your ears, rip out your throat. The same way they latched onto Stephen. They gnashed on him with their teeth. You got to understand it. This is not an expression. They laid right on him and were ripping him apart. They got their hands, they got their teeth into his body, and they wanted to chew his flesh right off his body. You gotta understand that. This is not, when you read in the Bible, these are real things that are happening. Leviticus 10, verse 1 to 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went a fire out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that what the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that cometh nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Some people out there trying to start up a revival, to which God says, you know what? This is not a time for a gathering. It's a time for repentance. There's a big difference. We figure we all get together and we all pray together, God is going to move. Well, all get together and all pray together. And if you're not in the will of God, God will not move. We somehow think that we can just do whatever we want, and there's people that go there and you can see them who are still in the filth that they're in, and they come to church and they say, you know what, God's going to do everything for me. And why is God so nice to that fellow who comes up there who's an alcoholic and all of a sudden he's blessed, healed, and everything else? Well, you know what? That man comes up, he hasn't been walking with a Savior for 20 years. What is our excuse as a church? The Lord can only be pushed so far, and he has limits of how much he will put up with us. And if we are not doing according to his will, this is not the time for us to sit down, clap our hands, and, oh boy, this is going to be the year of Jubilee. This is going to be the preachers go, oh, they're going to be the year of blessing. And next year they go, oh, this is going to be the year of blessing. And they just say, and we're really looking for something for God, and this is going to be your year of all blessings. Well, if I had it that way, I should have got everything 25 years ago. And you'll find out they do this for what? Well, to psych you up, to pump you up, and to get a dollar in your pocket. Because if they were truly looking for the Lord and looking for his guidance, you'd be surprised at what they'd have to do. They'd have to preach the truth. And then they might not have as many. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He needs those who will proclaim him as he is. Yes, he is very loving, he's very kind, and he's very wonderful, and he's so good. And I know he is. But also I know I don't provoke him, because he has a limitation. I also know when he comes on this earth, nobody's going to say, let's make a deal, Jesus, let's do. He says, this is what I want done. We won't do it, kill them. Every one of them won't listen to me. That is how it's going to be when he sets this rule and reign on this earth. The nations that will not serve him, he will have them destroyed right then and there, and it'll happen. We're living in a day of grace. We can thank God, because I know what? Majority of the Christians would all be dead right now. We would be. Every one of us. First Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, I were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You've been overthrown? Well, let's just read a little further. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember when they saw and the serpents bit them? There were so many of them died. So many of us get into sin and you wonder what happened to so-and-so. Well, he fell back into the world. He got bit by the serpent. And he went back into sin and he died. You also notice that the Lord always made provision for them to what? If they would turn back to him, they would be spared. Now I know it's a type and a shadow of the sinner coming to Christ. It's also for the believer to realize there is a redemption while they're walking with their Savior. And we see this, what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We have sinned. One point in our time in our walk with Christ, we were going to sin. Or you have sinned. And what did you get? Resaved or just repent? I know the idiots go and get resaved, but a person knows that he is my Father. Lord, I am sorry. Now verse 11 says this, now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for whose are our admonition, our, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him think it that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. If you think you'll only punish the wicked, you better get a reality check. The foregoing scriptures are about the believers in Christ Jesus. He will rule the world with a rod of iron, and he will rule his house according to his word. Nothing more and nothing less. Everything that he has said is there. Everything that he wants done is there. It's up to us to find out what he would have us to do and follow it. When you come to church, come to a meeting, and usually if there's a leader or a pastor, he should be helping you and guiding you how to walk with your Savior so you get a proper and good understanding what you are to do. He is there to give you good, sensible stuff. This is what's supposed to take place, provided he's doing that. And it's according to the word, you should be listening it because it's for your well-being, it is for your own good. The same thing as you teach your children what to do and what they should not do and how they should behave, it's the same thing that you ought to be doing with your walk with Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. He does and will chastise his children. You ever been chastised by the Lord? I had it. And it's not fun. But you want to know something? It's for our own good. When you discipline children, it's for their good. It's not because you're just trying to be mean. Kind of like the fellow said, you know, gee, you know, mom and dad are just so mean, they don't let me do anything I want. Gee. It's kind of like going to the church and the pastor don't like that. He just likes it like this. He likes order. He likes this. He likes that. He's so rigid, you know, he wants you to come to church to do your best for the Lord. We don't like that. That's not right, you know. He tells me to tithe. Who is him to tell me that? Who is him to say how I should live? Who is him to tell me where I should go and what I should do? Well, according to the word, we are all obligated to do the same thing. Why? Because him whom we serve does not put up with the stuff that we do. Now, don't think that everybody gets away with it. You can fool your parents, and we've all done it. We've all given them the 1-2, and they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. You know, gee, mom and dad, they walk by spiritual gifts, and they're so blind sometimes. Yeah, well, it happens. Even Philip baptized old Simeon. And he got by old Philip, and I think Philip was a lot more of an apostle than some of the people you know. But he didn't get by Peter and James and Peter and John. You're never going to get by the Lord, and the Lord knows. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You ever run a race with patience? I want to get to the end of the line. But running with the Lord is not a run that you think naturally. You have to be patient. Okay, let's get going. It's kind of like, was it Elijah when he ran from Jezebel? You ever notice that all of a sudden he scooted? And the Lord says, what are you doing here? And he says, go over there. So he goes and he hurries to get down there. The Lord says, wait here. You got to run with patience. You got to be patient before God. In other words, when you're running with him, it's a run that not you just kill yourself over. You find out that he says, rest. Okay, now go. Do this. Take this because it's going to be for many days. You'll find that sometimes you'll find with the Lord, you'll just be sitting there before him, and he prepares you and strengthens you for that which is going to be a long period of time. I found this out because after a while, I found out I could not study like I first studied. But it was so much given to me back then, it just carries me right over until I'm able to do it all over again. The strength to last 40 days or 20 years or whatever he needs and the things that he shows. But look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, how does somebody get scourged? Ever thought of that? What is a scourging? Cleaning. What kind of cleaning? You ever take your child in the bathroom? We used to hate that because mom used to take us in and scrub. Because for some reason, dirt used to accumulate behind our ears. I don't know how. But they used to pile up, and we would never wash behind our ears. You know, kids are kids. I'm clean. And they're standing there. Huh? You ever see that with kids? You ever done that with yourself? Well, yeah, you probably don't remember, but I do. You're standing there. Oh, yeah, I washed my hands. They're still just dirty and dripping, dripping. Did you dry them? Yeah. What's that dripping off you? Water. Don't you think you should? Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean dry them. Oh, I thought they were dry enough, you know. But you see that. He scourges you. And you don't like it sometimes. Kids would cry. And they would sometimes kick, scream, and fight. Until you just lay down the law. And that's the same thing with the Lord. He lays down his law. But it's not a mean law, it's a good law for our own well-being. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Now I say this very seriously. If a pastor does not deal with the church and deal with the people and deal with the things they wish they're getting themselves into, then what kind of a church are you in that just allows you to do anything you want? What spirit is there? It's not the spirit of Christ. I don't care. If I allow you to go and do whatever you feel like doing in the church, then we got trouble. Big time trouble. This is what's going on in churches, where people are coming in and the church is being taken over by spirits. And they're rebellious. And they're doing whatever they feel like doing. They figure there's no accountability. Oh, we hold ourselves accountable to each other, but not to God. God's word should be, we should be all held accountable. It should be up here. And we should all be attaining to that. And it doesn't happen. Verse 9. Furthermore, we had our fathers of flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our what? Profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. If you take the chastisement of the Lord and the discipline and everything else the Lord, it'll be profitable. Now, every one of us like to make money. And we understand profit. But we can't go in the Word of God and conceive in our mind that God would make it profitable for us to do well. Because we figure profitable means dollars and cents. Well, dollars and cents is a commodity or something. Profitable in the Lord is blessings and promises which do a far more greater thing for you than dollars and cents will. You got to understand that. But it's very profitable walking with your Savior. And don't look at it in a dollar value. But if you relate it in a parallel, you'll understand it's good. You do well. You get really blessed. And it really does good things for you. But you got to go with them. Verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exceedingly exercised thereby. In other words, it's not going to be a fun time. Get over it. Walking through the wilderness is not going to be a picnic. Oh, I'm just so happy in the Lord. Go to the wilderness. Oh, yeah, come on. Just sell it somewhere else, you know. You walk with Christ is hard. And you walk with Christ is up and down. Your walk with Christ is your determination. But then you start to understand, like Caleb and Joshua, and like Moses and like the other men and women of God, they understood that it was far more better for what they were doing and the stuff that they were going through and the rewards and the afterward. Remember, they got to the promised land. You know how many people fall short of their inheritance in Christ Jesus? They never get the spiritual gifts. They never get to their lot. They never get to what God has promised them. They always don't make it. Because they would not believe. They would not trust. They would not take chastisement. They would not take correction. They would not take direction. They want direction, but their direction. Verse 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The church wants to push God beyond his limits and break his word. Because when you try to get God to do things that are contrary to his word, you're trying to get him to break his word, and he cannot. So virtually you stop the hand of God doing anything in your life when you start rejecting the word. You stop the word of God in your life, and you don't want that. And what happens? Is sure judgment upon the offenders, because now you're against the word. And he who rules with a rod of iron is now against you, because he cannot go against his word. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll just keep an eye on my time here. I don't know if I'll get right through this, but we'll go to a point. 1 Peter 4, verse 17 to 19 says this, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Oh, if it's judgment at the house of God, I know. He's going to come with a little wand. Oobly doobly doobly doo. You don't have to do anything. There, magic dust on all of you, and away you go. Be happy, be happy, be happy. That's what we want. Everybody wants that. Everybody likes to click their heels and be off to Never Never Land or whatever else you want to do, or wink your eye or whatever else. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants to wake up one morning and be perfect. I did. I sure would. I would like that to happen. But I know in reality, it's never going to happen. I'm going to wake up the next morning, and if I'm going to do anything for Christ, I'm going to have to get up and do it. And what I got to do is the same thing you got to do. You got to do up, and you got to do the same thing. It's not going to be any different. Say, why is it so easy for somebody? Some people just say, you know what? I got to get on with it. Let's get it done. And you do it. You know, sit down there and fight the Lord every day of the week, trying to, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And you make it harder for yourself. Judgment begins at the house of God, and if it begins there, oh boy, look what it says. It first begins at us. What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now you notice he says scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let him that suffereth according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You see, I see the God that got so fed up with mankind destroy this world with a flood. I also know that my God is going to come back, and the next time he comes back, there's going to be a lot of trouble here. There's going to be a lot of burning, because he's not going to flood the earth, he's going to burn it. And the next time he burns it, it's going to be totally gone. And everybody in it that rejects him. And I know the only way I got in there is because of his son. And the grace of God shows me how much of a wicked sinner I am. My reasonable offer is unto him as much as I can do for him. And according to his word, that is what I should be doing. God does not hate those who are truthfully and honestly trying to walk with him. But we got people coming along, and we got churches that are coming along, and they figure they can stretch the grace of God. They figure they can push God to the limits. And figure, well, God won't deal with us like that. Well, you read in the Old Testament, he did. Those were his people. Oh, no, they weren't saved. You better go figure it out somewhere, because if they believe Jesus come, we believe that Jesus came. What's the difference between the two? We all believed for Savior, for our Savior. There are those who stretch the grace of God and think he'll accept it. We do have to adhere to the grace of God and to his ways, and we cannot break it. Neither can we go against it. You got people doing what they do to Bibles today. And what are you doing? You're playing a dangerous game with God. You're bringing sure judgment upon yourself when you go there and you make yourself in the place of God. That's what happened to Satan. And he got thrown out of heaven. Why? He figured he could sit as God, he could be God, and he could set up his own rules. That was the whole battle. And man has been doing it so long. And we have Christians today who are doing the same thing, because in their mind they try to serve God, and you can't serve God with your mind. It's a rotten, stinky old coconut. This is where you have all the religions and all the groups, what they're doing today. Women's lib, the gay and lesbian movements, and the churches accepting and blessing. You have some Christians today trying to join to the Mormon churches, and they're trying to connect up and say, well, what disagreements do we have that we can just connect together and be happy? Negotiating doctrines, and that's what's going on. Just like the Anglican and the Catholic Church today. We have that amongst churches that so-called call themselves Christian churches. The recent one you've seen was the Anglican Church voting on whether to bless gay marriages or not. It's not an issue. Homosexuality is wrong. God has never blessed the union between men and men and women and women. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that. You have to make your own Bible to make it like that. Somewhere down through the ages, the churches have forgotten the admonition of the Lord concerning his word. We're not to add to it nor take from it, but leave it as it is written. But we seem to think that he who rules with a rod of iron will not do that with us, because we're so special. We're his children. If we're his children, then more so with us than anybody. Because we bear what? Christ, the statutes and ordinance of him whom we serve. The The Bible says every word of God is pure, and he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So also applies to the church age, the New Testament which we live in. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, I don't know. I think God's not a respecter of persons. He said, I'll add unto him those plagues. In other words, you'll get a good share of it. A lot of that stuff goes on. I've seen Christians go through the torments of hell. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Kind of scary when he says he'd do things like that. His word is settled in heaven. You'd be found a liar if you add or subtract from it. If his word is settled in heaven, it's a settled matter. It stands as it is. I can't argue against it. Either I'm for it or I am against it. And he wants what? The same thing in heaven, here on this earth, and his word rules the hearts of men. The kingdom of thy, remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, it's already established in heaven, that which he wants. When he shows up on this world and on these nations to rule him with a rod of iron, you not think he rules his household with the same rules and the very same things? He wants these things done in his church. As many as I love, he says, I rebuke. As many as I love, I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, or I'll come and take out your candlestick. I will remove you if you don't smarten up. Pay attention to what I'm saying. I am telling you, and I'm telling you once. I'm not going to tell you 25 times. And we don't seem to get it. We think we all put our hand in hand and sing Kumbaya and I love you, love you, love you, is unity. If I'm not united with that word, I don't have unity. Two people going to hell, it can be united as much as you want, but they'll still both go to hell. Unity with what? United with the word of God. That's where you got to unite around. We have something to unite around, and that is the word. And when we all hang on to the same word, we are united together. We all have the same spirit, but we all don't have the same word. To alter the word or take away from it changes the way the Lord Jesus is, because he is the word and the word was made flesh, according to my gospel. So if I go and try and change the word, I'm changing him. And if I try to change him into something that he is not, I'm in trouble. Because now I'm playing with his word. And if he would not let Satan do anything to him, he is not going to let you. I guarantee you, he won't let you. I can just see the Apostle Paul. If you preach another Jesus than the one of this gospel, you better look out, buddy, and you better start running, because there's no place in hell you can hide that Jesus is not going to come after those who reject him. He is the Lord, he changeth not. And that's a good thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. We are living in the grace of God, thank God, because you know what? But even in the grace of God, there is a limitation to what the Lord will put up. Even the Apostle Paul said, suffer one to be sent unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. There's many of us that who do not discern the Lord's body that die and our lives are cut short. There's many of us do not think that God will not do and that he'll put up with anything that we do. There is a period of time and he gives us grace. And he gives a place and a time to us to repent. And if we don't repent, then you know what? Judgment is past. Nations have experienced that. When you go and look at the countries of this world, and the things that are going on, and even these nations here today, Canada, United States, is getting a judgment passed on it. There are some believers who are knowing what's going to happen. And it is what? Making them very sad. You think that today is always going to be like that tomorrow? you not know that this world and the power of the United States can be snapped in the blink of an eye? Do you not know the Aztec Empire went down as soon as they saw the Spaniards? Do you not know the Inca civilization went down just like that? You know how close we came to the whole world becoming Nazis? You know how close we all became to becoming Muslim? The time of Constantine, Constantinople, read your history and you'll find out it came to such a point. And we could happen tomorrow. What you have today could be gone tomorrow. You could all be speaking Chinese. And I'm serious. But we think of today, we figure it's just peace and safety. And all of a sudden, destruction. You not know that Solomon's rule and reign was, oh, this is great, 40 years of the greatest nation. It was smart, it was well, it was, oh, they were doing so good. Can you imagine he eating out of silver? Silver plates, silver knives, silver forks, silver, every just accounted as nothing. Everybody was doing really well. You look at America. We're all doing really well. We're not doing bad here. Even the poor people are taken pretty good care of, I think. If you go to other world countries, there's no welfare. No. You're going to be standing there and you'll be starving to death. I've seen that in third world countries. You're going hungry. You don't have a welfare office. There's no any humanitarian aid. You know who's doing it? The Christians or organizations from the well-to-do countries. You take it away and the people would starve to death. Think about it. Think about these things. It can go just like that. When God passes judgment upon a people, will he do this? He's done it. He passed judgment on the Jews for 2,000 years and they went through the literal ringers of hell. But we don't take it to heart. We figure we can play little games with God and figure that we all get together and we have a little bit of a hoopity-doo and all works out good. And he is what? Lord. And he is Christ. And he is one who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. We got to look at him and say, you know what? There's a side to our Savior that is very strong. And we better pay attention to him. I think we don't have the fear of God in our eyes anymore. I think we got the fear of whatever. The church has forgotten whom they are dealing with. This Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. He will reign with a dictatorial rule. There will not be a voting party coming up to him. We have made a decision and you're not Lord anymore. Really? There's not going to be like that. There's no democracy with Jesus Christ. He says, this is the way it is, and that's it. There's nothing to discuss. Either you come to me by faith or you don't come to me. I will do it another way. No. Let us make a deal. No. Try to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, without believing on him. Try it. Well, you don't want to try it because you know. You won't get anywhere. He rules as a dictator. He wants that which he wants done. As it is in heaven, I want it here on earth. He's not joking. He's not playing games with us. We got to get this in our hearts. You know the golden rule. He who has the gold rules, makes his own rules. Well, he says silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. He owns heaven and earth. I guess he makes the rules and we got to obey him. I think that's how it works. He is fair in his judgment and he is just. He doesn't take his power and do whatever. And is dealing with mankind and dealing with us as his children. He's laid out the rules and how he can be reached. The grace to which he offers, the faith to which we receive, the law of faith to which we walk in, obeying to receive. Everything is set forth and in order. We cannot change it nor negotiate with the Lord in making our own rules and our own laws. Because that's what it all comes down to. When he says he will rule the nations with a rod of iron, you got to understand, he is a dictatorial rule. He is set forth in his word. He says, this is what is fair, this is what is just, and you must come to it now. He says, there is no more for you. I put it out as far as I can. Can you imagine how far he's put the grace of God out, that it won't break, and that it's out to you? He can't go anymore. And everything he could do, he's put out there. Let's get to the word. The word is set in heaven, cannot be altered nor added to, because they are perfect. And that's why he says, follow thou my perfect law, follow thou my perfect word. If you believe in my word, you trust in my word, it shall do you well. And it'll go well with you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What the Lord expects shall be done. You ever see how a dictator rules? You ever notice Hugo Chavez? That's it. Well, Jesus is going to say, that's it. I don't like to hear that. Well, okay. I'll tell you another way. He's going to say, that's the way I want it done. And it will be done, whether you like it or not. That's what we have to accept. We can't make deals. Let's make a deal, Jesus. He's not a Jesus who is a wimp who stands aside and just gets pushed over. You can't tell him and dictate to him what you want. There's no democracy with Jesus Christ. He says he has set forth everything, and that's it. There's no voting on it, how it'll be, if that's it. Now we have one of two choices, accept it or reject it. I say let's accept it, because you want to know what? The terms are good and the ways are right. And it's fair and it's just. And if I take it, it'll be okay. You know the best rule is a dictatorial rule. If the dictator is good and the leader is good, everything goes well. It's when they're bad, it's when everything goes bad. You see your country? This is democracy. Doesn't go anywhere, does it? Slow moving, always a problem. When I do things, I just make a decision, bang, 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 and away it's done. Some are right, some are wrong. Jesus makes a decision, bang, 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 bang. Everyone's right, everyone's perfect, and it's good. Because he's Lord, he's perfect. And you got to look at him like that. You got to trust him. He is strict, and he rules with a rod of iron, and will have his way. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and his word rules with authority and with power. And if you get in it, it'll do you well. What you must do is get close to the word as possible. That's the whole key to it all. Seeing it is the word of the living God, he will not alter nor change what he has said. Trust in him. And you'll find out he is very good, very kind, very just. Amen? We just bow our heads. Lord, we just do thank you. We thank you for your word, for your truth, and for your light. Lord, bless it to each and every heart that may hear it and they may receive it. They may walk forward in the power and the might and the glory of it, knowing that you are a great and a mighty God, and you do love your people with an everlasting love, and your word is ever so sure and true that it will help us if we trust in you and receive it. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, I did go a bit long. No? All right.
I'm just drying out my contacts.
I know.